One Bright Moment by Joel Willens. Published by Everyday Fiction on May 27th, 2008. As read by Adam Kirby. We were children, not lovers. But as we lay on the grass looking at the stars, talking of angels, she took my hand and said that a moment can change everything. When I think of Sissy Zaleski, and I do now more often than ever, I always remember her on that night. Splayed out on the earth as though floating just an inch above the ground. She told me in the strange quiet of the countryside where silence is made up of infinite little sounds, that there would be signs, forever.
I'm not tricking you, Tom. You know that, don't you? I'm just telling you how it is and how it's going to be. When we get older and we're not friends like now, because we've gone away or got a job or got married, I'm going to send you signs so you remember us now, this very second. Do you believe me? What sort of signs?
She might have been about to answer when the lamplight came through the leaves, but I was already on my feet, tugging her up, dragging and scrambling in her hand tight in mind, keeping low to the ground as the lamplight swept to and fro, a hulking shadow stomping behind it.
Sissy, you better not be out there with that boy, you hear me?
Even now I can see her paw. A stomper, always a stomper with dark eyes and a darker brow, and always dangerous with tools and bulging pockets. That night he stomped the earth and we rushed into the night. In the trees near the stream, we stopped and sat on our haunches, breathing hard, breathing in the woods. We stayed like that, frozen in our fear, until I moved closer and whispered into her ear,
"Why does he hate me so? I ain't done nothing bad."
She moved closer still.
"He thinks if it weren't for you, I'd stay indoors more with him. He's gotten worse since Mom left. He gets worse every day. Truly he does."
I looked into her eyes. Then, like idiots feeling safe and holding nothing back, we hugged together. So close I could feel her heart next to mine. I don't know who kissed whom first. But once, 33 years later, in a room in Blackpool, watching as my wife combed her hair, ochre red like Sissy's, it came to me with force as crushing as gravity. If I'd kept Sissy closer, if I'd never let her go so easy, it could have been her combing herself in front of me then. I wonder now if that was the first signal, or if they'd been coming to me all those years after and I'd just blanked them out, pressed them down, scared of what they said. I've had no worse parting than that night. I didn't want her to go, but once we finished and we realized what we'd done and now how I was more, much more than a forbidden friend, she was shaking so hard that I thought she might die on me. With the taste of her on my lips, I sneaked us out of the trees. We scurried close to the ground as fast as we could, and I took her back to the lair of her paw. I kissed her again then, in the shadows. It was the bravest thing I'd ever done. I wanted to show her that even though she was going back, I wouldn't desert her. Not ever. She didn't come to school for a few days after that, and then I found out it was she who was leaving me. Going back to Poland, that's what my friend said. To the motherland of her ancestors. As far as the stars, for me. I didn't believe him at first, how could I? Since that night, she'd been in every one of my thoughts, coloring them like ink spilled in water. But then they announced it at school. Last thing in the assembly, after morning prayers. And when everyone else filed out, I just sat there, cross-legged and dazed. I saw her once afterwards. She sneaked around my house, she couldn't stay long, she said. She threw herself onto the sofa and started wrestling cushions, banging her fist and asking me that if there was a god, then what was he doing to make her paw so mad that she had to leave? I wanted to say things to make her feel better, but I couldn't, because I knew that it was me that had caused it. I wanted to kiss her again, too, but my mom was lurking, so I just held her hand and told her I'd write every day. "Look out for the signs," she said before she left. "Little things. I'll send them, and you'll remember me. I know it." And I did to start with. I looked out all the time, but as I grew up and I changed from a boy to a man, I stopped searching. Or maybe I just stopped seeing. Life does that to you, I suppose. Clouds things over. So why is it only now that my life is drowsy with dreams of her? And what does it mean that a smell, a word, the single sigh of an owl can make me think of Sissy? Nearly whole life I've lived without her. Got jobs, gone away, and been married, but only now do I see that she was right. That one moment, one bright culmination of everything, can change you from children to lovers, and that you can never, ever go back again.